Thank you, folks. Let's open our Bibles. We want you to go to the book of Psalms. I've been doing a little reading in the Psalms, and I may go there a time or two today. Psalms 95. I'd like for you to look at that. And just going to read about five or six verses in it. I'm going to announce my subject, and we are doing a few subjects. As the Lord kind of lays one on my heart. We'll get into a book verse by verse here after a little while, and I'm not exactly sure when. When I announce the subject, don't say, "Well, I already believe right on that." So, no, I want to tell you, this is kind of, it's an evil we have to confront today. It's done a lot of harm. It's a terrible, terrible doctrine, and it's a lot of harm been done by it. Psalms 95, picking it up in verse 1. Says, "Come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving." No, I know Thanksgiving's not arrived yet, as far as the date, but this is a good one here. "Let us come before the presence with thanksgiving. Make a joyful noise unto him with psalms." And most of you know, Psalms is sort of like the songbook. Verse 3, "For the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods," little g gods. In his hand are the deep places of the earth. The strength of the hills is his also. The sea is his, and he made it. And his hands formed the dry ground or ground, land. Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. I'm going to stop there, and I want you to think on the point here just a little bit. Kneel before the Lord, our Maker. Now, in old-time talk, especially in the South, you'd often hear of folks saying, "Our Maker." God is our Maker. Another psalm says, "It is He that has made us, and not we ourselves." And yet, as we think about it today, this truth, as basic as it is, has been messed up and is used by the devil to do a lot of damage, and especially in what is called the intellectual or education realm, and especially therefore it applies to our young folks. And I want to talk to you just a little bit about it, and probably not say anything you haven't heard. I'm not going to try to get too technical about it, because there's no end to that. But I will say this, God has placed in every heart the fact that he's the Maker. And no matter how man tries to educate himself away from that truth, it's still there. That's why as parents, you ought to have your kids in Sunday school. You ought to teach them the Bible stories, because they're very ready to believe. It's placed inside of them by God. It has to be educated out of them later. Right. And that's the trouble. We've tried to have a Christian school down through the ages, and starting with kindergarten going on, because we understand how important it is. Somebody said, if you want the tree to grow straight, you keep the twig straight. As the twig is bent, the tree is going to grow, so to speak. And why in the world are we so shocked today at what we see when they got all twisted up very early, been out of shape, so to speak, early in life? Now, evolution, most of you know the doctrine, you know, they say, well, we just evolved from one cell to another cell, and to finally a frog, and finally a baboon, and finally a college professor. Let me read a poem here that a student wrote, probably sitting in college class, when they were trying to teach him evolution. He said, "Once I was a tadpole when I first began. Now I am a froggy with his tail tucked in. Next I was a monkey in a coconut tree. Now I am a professor with a PhD. I expect that didn't get him good grades if he let that be said in class. I've had some experience with that, even some of the colleges not too far from here. where the professors claim to be atheists, and if you disagree with them in class, they mark your grade down. You say, that's just hearsay. Well, the newspaper recorded it not too long ago, didn't it? And I've known several personal cases where that's exactly the truth, very much the truth. Trying to get this throat to get it right. What's the motive behind it? Well, of course, it's to remove the fear of God. There's that fear built in, so I'm going to talk myself out of it. I mean, I don't have to answer to God if I'm not obeying him, if I'm not living for him. So I'd like to get rid of him, and yet with all the programming and education, so-called, that's been put on America through these years, they are still shocked to discover when they take a poll that still the percentage of average Americans still believe God's the maker, that he's the creator, amen? But they want to remove the fear of God. They don't want to answer to him. Now, the Bible predicted that, which it does everything. You're in the Psalms. Go back with me to the very front of the book of Psalms. Pick it up in Psalms 2, and you'll see exactly what is the motive behind the whole thing. And in Psalms 2, you find out it's the restraints that they want to get rid of. Come to the end of Job, pick up first of Psalms, Psalms 2. Questions asked, why do the heathen rage? Now, word heathen is basically any nation outside of Israel in the Bible. Why do the heathens rage and the people imagine a vain thing? Now, here's the top of the echelon. The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together. By the way, most bad stuff starts at the top and comes down. That's certainly true, and you certainly see it today. Kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed. Now, who's his anointed? Well, Christ, the Lord Jesus, the Savior. And against his anointed, saying, let us break there, and you notice the plural here, there. Let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. You ever hear somebody say, don't put no strings on me? Well, this crowd don't want any strings put on from God. They want the bands, the cords broken. So they teach doctrines to try to get away from it. And to cast away their cords from us. Now notice God's reaction in verse 4. He that sitteth in the heavens shall what? Laugh. Isn't that amazing? And the Lord shall have them in derision. His throat's got me in derision right here. I'm clear in a minute, maybe. The Lord shall have them in derision. Then shall he speak unto them in his love? No, wrath. God can get mad at sinners as well as sin. And vex them in his sore displeasure. But then it changes gears and it says, yet have I set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. God is saying, you can try to break our cords. You can try to abuse and teach wrong, but in the long run, I'm going to have my way. In the long run, I'm going to set my king, that's the Lord Jesus, on my holy hill of Zion, and that's going to happen when Jesus comes and rules and reigns from Jerusalem. Then he says, I will declare the decree. The Lord hath said unto me, thou art my son. This day have I begotten thee. And of course, that's talking about the Lord Jesus. I'm not going to go any further with the second psalm, except it exposes the very thing that is on the heart of those that teach against God. They want to break his cords. They want to get out from under his rule, move his restraints, break his laws. There's a sense that man never breaks God's law. God's law breaks man. There's a difference. But many can't seem to learn that. But that's the motive behind it. Now, the theory of evolution is a bad one. It's like the student said, how in the world can you believe you started out as a tadpole or less and go up through the frogs and the monkeys and all that and finally become a man? See, nobody's ever been able to observe such a thing happening. Never. And it's still not happening. It never did happen. It never will happen. It is amazing to me how that they want us to believe that, and yet it contradicts their other teachings. For instance, you'll read where they say asteroids destroyed the dinosaurs. You have heard that one? But now for years and years, nobody said that. It's only been, what, in the last 25 years they come up with that theory? Now they speak of it on TV as though they were there watching it when it happened. It's a fact, according to them. Now, no, it is not. It started out as just one man's hypothesis, one man's theory, and then it's grown and grown. You know why? Because they have no other explanation. Because they don't want to admit to a worldwide flood, amen, and the judgment of God falling. So, anyway, the theories are really a bad one, and they lie about the evidence. If you hear somebody, and some of these young people in school, I feel sorry for them. They're so deceived by some of these professors that have a motive against God. And they'll say, well, the fossil record. Hey, the fossil record witnesses against so-called evolution. Amen. They have no proof ever of one animal changing into another one.
Right.
Ever. And the fossil record is... does not exist for evolution, it exists against evolution.
That's right.
Now, they want to say some ridiculous things about it, but no proof. Now, they say, well, all right, the asteroids destroyed the dinosaurs. And then they come right back and say this, the earth has been hit so many times in the past, and it's going to be hit again, according to them. By the way, they're right on that. The book of Revelation tells you one's coming. In God's timing, it is coming. But they say Earth has had so many hits that it could not exist without being hit ever so many years, and yet they want us to believe it's set here for millions of years to give them all the time for the tadpole to evolve to a human. So they contradict themselves on the very so-called science. They contradict themselves on that. But anyway, they draw pictures, they write books to try to prove a false theory. When you see a picture of a so-called prehistoric man in a book on TV, just remember, they never found a whole skeleton. They never found a man. Most cases, they found a tooth or a tiny chip of bone. And they use their imagination to say it was so many millions of years old, and they draw a picture as to what they think he looked like. I think some of them are looking in the mirror when they draw it, but anyway. Anyway, that's how dumb they are on this thing. What I just said, I can prove by examples. Out here in the Midwest, Utah, or wherever it was, they were digging. They got them a hole picture in the paper and everything of this ancestor they dug up, and that made the rounds for several months, and then finally somebody found out the whole truth. The tooth they dug up that they made the man from was a hog's tooth. Right, that's proof of it. Truth. When I was in school, they had the so-called Piltdown man. Anybody ever study that in school? The Piltdown man. Found him in the pit in England. That's what he was named after, the pit there he come out of. And I had to study in school that he was a missing link. Somebody was missing a link, all right. Later on, the kids finally admitted in college what they'd done. They'd taken part of an ape skull and part of a human skull, and they'd put the jaw on it, and they had got them some stain paint, and they had painted up, and they'd fooled the dumb professor that wanted to believe it. But then it got out of hand and made the textbooks. And I'd been out of school a number of years, and there was a little old spot in the back of the paper, and it said, I'm talking about just a maybe 4 or 5 inch column, just a small one. It said, the Piltdown man is found out to be a hoax. They don't like to admit those hoaxes, but that's what they are. And the theory is a bad one, a bad one. Genesis, God's book of creation there in the beginning, tells us that God produced things and let things produce after their own kind. Do you know that's exactly what latest science backs up now with the DNA they've discovered?
Right.
They can't cross the species. You've had different ones that wanted to claim that, But it's not true at all. I saw here a few years ago where a guy come out, got a lot of publicity. Lakeland Ledger wrote him up, Maul, some fellow up north. Claimed he had put cats and dogs together and mixed them. And now I forget what he called it, a dog cat or kitty dog or whatever he called it. And they fell for that garbage for a little while. And then somebody exposed it was a fake, big fake. See, God says after its own kind.
Right.
Now, you can have little dogs and big dogs and small horses and big horses, but it's all in the kind.
Right.
When you cross the species, generally it don't work at all, but if you do make anything work, you get a freak. A freak.
Right.
A freak cannot reproduce another freak. Well, I don't know. I've seen a few, but yeah. Now, I'm joking some. You know what is a freak that you can look at today? You can see a mule. A mule is a cross, the horse and the donkey, and it turns up a mule. And I'm a Georgia boy, I know about mules. And yes, the mules can't reproduce. They stop right there. That's where it stops. And that's where it does with everything when man tries that. The book of Leviticus warns about even trying it, but men do try it. But the earth, they say, is so many millions of years old, and you'd hear that on TV and you hear that in the schoolrooms as though it was a settled fact. It is not a settled fact. Nobody can prove such a thing as that. Now, you say, but what about carbon dating? Well, what about it? Carbon 14 dating, oh, they all swear by it, but it is unpredictable. It is not a fact of measurement that you can trust. Do you understand? Let's take an artifact they dig up. They assume that it's originally had so much carbon in it. Carbon dispels itself at a certain rate. So they assume it had X amount, they measure it, and they know it's got less than the X amount, so they make an estimate that that carbon 14 rating has always been steady dispelling itself. And so they say, well, it would have took 10 years, it would have took 1,000 years, it would have took 5,000 years or 1,000,000 years to dispel this much. But now here's something wrong with that. First place, they don't know how much it had to start with. No way do they know how much it had. Neither does all of it dispel itself at the same rate. But it's a good argument to say, well, the earth's 10 million years old. One university will say it's 10 million, another will say it's 20 million. I mean, they just vary 10 or 20 million between themselves. And they'll try to use that as an argument. It has got so many holes in it that it will not work and does not work. Earth age, decay rate, all of that business. Now, contradictions on the age of things. See, they have this theory. Theory is that if we give it enough time, anything can happen. Have you heard this statement? They printed this a few years ago. Give enough time, you can take 10 monkeys and you can put them in a room and give them a typewriter. And if you give them enough time, they'll produce a King James Version of the Bible. That is so stupid. Tornadoes don't go through junkyards and reassemble the cars.
Right.
It's crazy. There's a law called, it's the second law of thermodynamics, it's called entropy. E-N-T-H-R-O-Y-R-Y, I guess it is. But here's what it means. It means the disorder in a system tends to become more disorderly as time goes on. I used to illustrate to young people when I was a youth leader, I'd get me a copy of individual letters of the alphabet, and I'd put them in a little box. And I'd start off with them in there spelling a word, whatever word I spelled out with them. You could lift the lid, you could see the word spelled out using as much of the alphabet as I could. Then I'd put the lid on, and I'd start shaking it. And I'd say to the teens, how many of you think when I lift the lid again, that word's going to be just like it was? Oh, no. How many of you think if I shake it here all day, it'll reassemble? Now, don't ever believe that. I'd say, well, let's shake it all week, all year. It's never going to reassemble, and you know it. Yet they want us to believe that with evolution.
Right.
And that's just how foolish it really is. The appearance of age appears in a lot of God's creation. For instance, when Mount St. Helens blew up out west, you remember the guy that wouldn't leave his cabin, and they've never seen him again. His name was Harry Truman. It was not the president Harry Truman, but that was his name. He was a hard-headed old fella, and he just let the mountain cover him up. But what they discovered was, in a matter of just 2 or 3 to 5 years, all that devastation of the forest and all the terrain and the mountain that blew up in that volcano, all of a sudden it had the appearance as though it was millions of years old. Trees were petrified. Stuff that they have always said it took millions of years to do was done in just a short few years. Really fouled up their theory. Didn't write much about that in the newspaper. Not much at all. But assumptions they make that are wrong. Great lengths man goes to prove a lie. Many fakes are being turned up. Some of it even becoming criminal acts, and some folks are even being charged over some of them. So what's the problem? The problem is they don't want to confess the alternative, which is there's a maker,
right,
a creator, God. One scientist, a little more honest than some others, and by the way, everybody that calls himself a scientist, not a scientist. Everybody that calls himself a preacher is not a preacher.
Yeah.
Or a lot of other names we could throw in there. There's fakes in everything, amen. My wife bought a dozen of eggs one time, and one of them was a fake. You know what I'm talking about? Somebody says it's a rotten egg, yeah, bad apple, all that business. The truth of the matter is, just wearing a title don't make you nothing.
Right.
Amen. Anyway, this thing of faking things is because they don't want to accept the alternative that God is the maker. And this one guy that was a little honest than others said this. He said, I know about all the holes in evolution. I know about all the gaps in the fossil record. He said, I know about, but he said, I gotta stick with it because the alternative is just something I don't want to admit. Now, what was he saying? He was saying, I don't want to admit I'm gonna face God.
Right.
I'm gonna answer to God. That's what he was saying.
Right.
And I did appreciate his honesty, but that was very true. Men have gone to great extremes to prove a theory. Many of them have given their lives for it. I'll tell you a story best I can remember. In 1912, a crew originating in England, a crew of five men, decided they would go to the South Pole. Now, it don't sound right to you and I. We think going south is hot, but it's cold at the South Pole.
Right.
Antarctica and stuff, very cold. I think there's a sheet of ice down there. I don't know why they call it this. It's either the Rose or Ross, I forget what it is, ice sheet. Anyway, in 1912, Captain Robert Scott and four of the men put out to go, and they had various experiments they were gonna make and all that when they got there. But the big drive behind it was to acquire eggs from the so-called Emperor Pentagon. He's a bird that basically don't fly, and they considered he was the oldest. Batman and Robin, and who was the enemy? Pentagon. All right, anyway. They were gonna get eggs from that bird, and here's what they wanted to do. They believed, and show you how much faith is involved in evolution. I've said many times to some folks that say, well, I believe in evolution. I've said to them, I don't have that much faith. It takes a lot more faith to believe you come out from under a rock than it does to believe you had a loving creator, amen? Anyway, they went to the South Pole, got close to it. I don't think they ever got all the way. And they wanted to acquire these eggs. Now, here was the theory they wanted to prove. They wanted to prove the recapitulation theory. Now, you don't know what that is unless you think. You've seen pictures of it. They try to say that when a baby is born in the womb, animal or human, they try to say that if you followed the process and watched that from the seed on, from the first cell on, that you would see that baby go recapitulation, recap, in order to recap tires, you know what I'm talking about, recapitulation. That in the picture you would find from the very fertilized seed until the baby was born, that it would go through every stage of evolution. There'd be a time that it would look like a fish with gills, because it is in water. It is a miracle of God that it can survive in water and then come out in air. Anyway, they'll draw pictures of every little stage, and they'll try to say that this baby goes through all the stages of evolution like it did in its history, and then finally come out as a human. Now, you got to have something loose in your head to believe that. But that's what they have put in textbooks, and they've had to draw out, and it was nothing more than a man's imagination. And he faked a lot of his drawings. They can't do that now with ultrasound and stuff. It exposes them, see. But they didn't have that when that theory was brought. And I've even had a guy to tell me this. You know, they hide it, but when babies are born, some of them come out with a little tail, and it has to be cut off. I said, you got more at stake than your tail. Believe in that, brother, when you stand before God. Yeah, there's little times at different things, little birth here or there that may have something wrong with it, but that's a joke. But see, that's to fit the recapitulation theory, that the last stage coming through that birth canal was the kid was closest to a monkey. And a monkey has a tail, so they had to clip the tail off so the baby could be born and not look like a monkey. Now you say, that's dumb. I know it's dumb. I'm talking to you about a dumb thing this morning, a stupid thing. Now these men went on this hunt for those eggs because their theory was that within those eggs, they would prove that dinosaurs came from the ocean, from the bird, the penguin, and they're still pushing today that dinosaurs were first birds. And that is a joke. They try to write in the paper, we found a dinosaur skeleton, and instead of scales, he had feathers. You've read that kind of stuff. Most of it has been faked. So these men go out, they're going to take these eggs, and they're going to prove to everybody that, yes, in the beginning of this ancient bird here, we can see the evidence inside the egg of dinosaurs. They go and push themselves, these five men did, on this expedition to prove a fairy tale that dinosaurs came from birds. But when they got the eggs did not prove any such thing. Did not even hint at any such thing. They wanted to back up Darwin's theory of evolution and dinosaurs from birds. By the way, do you understand they believe the, forget which way it is, but they teach that whales came from cows. Yeah, dairy cows, like you know what a cow is. Somehow the cow got off in the water and got to enjoying the ocean and finally evolved into a whale. Now, that's pretty sad. You read the book of Genesis, and it's interesting how God, in that very beginning, the creative act, created whales. Read your Genesis, created whales. Anyway, these men got the eggs, but only one of them arrived back home alive. The other four died. Isn't that amazing? They wanted to prove this theory so bad, they went on a foolish exposition. Four of them froze to death. One of them got home. Maybe God wanted the evidence brought back that it was a joke. No such thing. Dinosaurs didn't come from birds.
Amen.
It's really, really a crazy thing. But here's some fellows that gave their life to prove the recapitulation theory, which is wrong and yet is still being taught in some cases in intellectual circles, in some so-called higher places of learning. And I've seen the picture over and over, some of the so-called science books, and you see that baby start off and he grows through, he looks like a worm, he looks like a fish, he looks like this, that, and finally he looks like a little monkey and finally comes out. And some parents think he come out early as a monkey, but they're wrong. It's a baby all the time, amen, from the very beginning. Now, it's still used, even though it's been proven false, to show that length to try to prove evolution. Now, why you say, well, preacher, we all know God was our maker. You'd be surprised how many kids sit in church, hear the gospel, hear the Bible preached, and then when they get old enough to leave home and they go to college where some parents send them and have all the faith kicked out of them, and the professor standing up there saying, you'll either agree with me or you don't get your grade. And you spend big bucks for that. And yet you say, we got to have that for our kids. Why? How do you want them to turn out?
Right.
What is it you want out of them by the time their life is over? You want them to have brainwashed to the place they don't believe in the Lord Jesus Christ? Or you want them to know him and go to heaven? A lot of parents today, and I'm talking about Christian parents. Well, I want my kid to have a better opportunity than me. Well, are you going to send him to hell for it?
Amen.
So that's crude. No, that's truth. A whole lot of parents taking the thing that's most precious to them and wasting it. Listen, if they sit under that teaching long enough, don't you think it's going to influence the way they live? It is doing it, and that's what we're seeing every day. All right, my time's up. We'll give you the report. Let the choir go out and get ready to come in. Well, we can't get over this 750 in Sunday school. We got to do better than that. Appreciate it if you're visiting with us today. Have about 7